You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That first bit was Dr. Tom Logan from the University of Canterbury. He has a partnership with the Christchurch City Council, which is leading the world in understanding and adapting to risk from climate change. Now, the University of Canterbury's Civil Systems Engineer Lecturer, Dr. Tom Logan, specialises in how cities and communities prepare for changing for the changing and uncertain climate, as well as climate change and such, and how it challenges our communities. Now, they've recently received a bit of funding from the MBI, the Ministry for Business and Education, I believe, Smart Idea Grant to support the research as part of the partnership. Dr. Logan says the big challenge for our communities here and globally is that few places are adequately prepared. A recent international study found that existing adaptation planning in large cities is unlikely to be effective. I will now continue to play the rest of the interview that did play. Here is Dr. Tom Logan speaking about his partnership with the Christchurch City Council.
The Technical Director of Urban Intelligence, and I have a PhD in Risk Analysis from the United States. But been back in New Zealand for about 3 years, and really early on in being back, I approached the City Council, Christchurch City Council, asking if I could be involved and support any of the work that they're doing around their climate adaptation. And so how do we plan for the impacts of climate change and rising seas? And it was just really good timing because they were just starting off that process and basically said, we have to do a risk assessment as part of this. Would you be interested in supporting us? And so almost like two and a half years later, we've been working, obviously COVID has been a giant spanner in the progress that we're preparing to go out for community engagement, I think early next year, and it's just been an excellent partnership, and we've been making some major changes to how risk and climate risk has been assessed compared to how it's done traditionally.
You mentioned that the big challenge for our communities here and globally is that few places are adequately prepared for climate change, or at least climate change adaptation. Now, a recent international study found that existing adaptation planning in large cities is unlikely to be effective. Is this the findings that you've seen in Christchurch, as well as, I'm guessing, Aotearoa, cities around Aotearoa in general could have the same issue?
Yeah, I think Christchurch is doing an excellent job. And I think climate change is one of those things that no one really knows what to do. We're all having to, it's such an active research space, but we have to be making decisions right now with the limited, with the evidence we have on hand. And so all of our cities are basically having to invent the wheel themselves. There's not a huge amount of guidance or support from the Ministry for the Environment. And so all of the different cities are, like I said, basically coming up with their own approach. And many of them are doing a great job, but there's, climate change is such a complex challenge that we need to make sure we don't fall into the trap that study was identifying, where all of this effort is basically, has that potential of not being effective. This is something that's going to affect, especially the younger generation and our generation, for a long, long time. So it's important that we get this right and get the most up-to-date information and evidence and research on this as possible.
You've talked about the recent release of New Zealand's National Adaptation Plan and findings that sea level rise is occurring faster than anticipated, making innovations in regards to infrastructure and, risks to places which could flood quite easily. Yeah, what current techniques do we need to consider in order to address this risk?
Well, at the moment, our traditional techniques for assessing this are majorly underestimating what the risk is. Not to put too fine a point on it, but it's a pretty massive shitstorm that we're about to face, and we aren't doing a very good job of identifying how bad that is. So with the Christchurch City Council, we're using, we've come up with these really quantitative, really granular spatial information, so we can say, like, not just, oh, the sea level's rising, and not just, oh, there might be a flood here, but what is this going to mean for our, like, infrastructure and for the people that rely on that? And so thinking about, like, not just the direct exposure, but thinking about those cascading impacts. We know that if a road is damaged, then people might be isolated. We know that if an electricity line is damaged, people might won't have electricity, but they might also not have water supply or wastewater. And so all of those things mean that residents who think that they might be fine in a natural hazard event due to climate change actually could have some major impacts. And so those are the things that we're working with the Christchurch City Council on, improving how we identify those and communicate it.
Your team's research is showing such indirect effects may occur significantly earlier than expected and may impact areas previously thought to be safe.
Yep. So that's a study that we've been working on, and we've just finished analysis in New Zealand, but we've been working on it in the United States for a while. And what we mean by that is, if we just think about the direct risk, like, let's just think about how, whether or not a house is flooded by water, because of sea rise. That's one thing, but what about if a house is cut off because of that same flooding? Like, what if the roads are disrupted? And that, like, regular or even, like, semi-permanent isolation would have major, major effects. And even before it becomes semi-permanent, huge anxiety, huge well-being issues, huge disruption for the residents there. And so that kind of impact can occur decades before a house, the property itself, is actually at risk. And some properties that are, high enough up, and they say, no, we're fine, we're safe, because I live on, like, a little hill, they might still be totally cut off, potentially, like, much, much earlier than they would even imagine. And so this is really important, because the National Adaptation Act, which was released earlier, kind of didn't really do a good job about talking about managed retreat, but it started talking about managed retreat, which is where we buy people's properties and start to move people away from these hazardous areas. That is not thinking about this indirect risk, this potential for isolation, and there's a potentially huge social and economic disruption because of this that we're not even thinking about.
Do you think that climate policies and climate coverage can be quite vague?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think partially that's because we're still figuring it all out and everyone's still learning, but we definitely need to get onto this. We need to be taking this a lot more seriously than we currently are. And providing the resourcing in our councils and our government, so that we can tighten this up and actually have a plan. Thinking about this in 3-8 years is just not good enough.
My apologies. I was actually going to add on to that question. That question itself was vague. within the vagueness of climate change coverage and climate change policies, do you think this really gets in the way of making significant progress within the field? And like you said earlier, it obviously has an effect on healthy living for really anyone, you know, just how a climate change issue can end up isolating a community and such.
Yep. So yes, definitely. The vagueness around this means that there are some negatives arising from that. One of the biggest challenges is that it means that our councils are not equipped or not properly supported to deal with it. And adaptation and risk is largely an issue that our local government has to address, even though most voters probably are unaware of that. That is not getting the support that I think they need from central government to the level that they need it. But also the vagueness is meaning that people are still building and we're still investing money in these at-risk areas. And that's simply not good enough. Like, it means that we're going to have to pay for those properties, or potentially have to pay for those properties. And even if we're not paying for those properties, we're going to have to manage the social and well-being and economic damage. So I think we urgently need to tighten it up so that we're not making things worse for ourselves. Like, we might not be able to stop climate change entirely, but we can reduce how bad it's going to be for us based on making like smart decisions today.
Do you think that it's important that we move away from that alarmist idea and more into a more progressive and accepting the fact that, look, climate change is obviously inevitable now within our society. Now we sort of need to focus on minimizing the harm that it's going to do to our community, our health, our safety. Like you said before, it has a detrimental effect on our mental health even as well. It's quite scary stuff, really.
Yeah, and it is scary, but it's one of those things that there is still a lot we can do about it. Like, obviously, in terms of mitigation, every degree of warming is going to make a difference. So as much as possible, we have to mitigate. But we have locked in changes, and we, like, today, the way that we decide to plan our cities, where we decide to live and how we decide to live, in terms of like near the coast, or if we're densifying like we need to be living more densely so that people can, but making sure there's enough green space so that we mitigate heat, mitigate flooding, all of those things. Like, climate change still presents an opportunity for us to like live better than we currently are, and I think it's important. Yes, things are bad, but it's not like all hope is lost, kind of. That's not the case.
Are you excited to really start co-developing this research that would essentially impact and improve our community in a much more positive aspect and really improve that resilience as well as our ability to be able to deal with issues such as climate change?
Yeah, that team at the Christchurch City Council is fantastic, and the work that they've already done is fantastic, and it's just such a great opportunity for us to like continue to improve it. And because I live in Christchurch, so all of these changes, like, I'm involved because it's going to make a difference for our community, and that's definitely the whole point.
That was Dr. Tom Logan, a civil systems engineering lecturer from the University of Canterbury, speaking about his work with the Christchurch City Council in regards to climate change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.